Ridiculous.
Sets a bad precedent, Kevin. Why not, hey, let's go after Obama. Let's go after Clinton.
Bush.
Yeah.
I know. Hey, stick around. More to do as we continue right here on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCycery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. House impeachment managers at this hour are set to deliver the article of impeachment against President Trump. Bob Agnew reports from the U.S. Senate.
Keith, it's the first time a U.S. president has been impeached twice, the first time his accusers have pursued a trial when he's already out of office. In this case, the article charging former President Trump with inciting insurrection was passed earlier this month. U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts will not be presiding. As the Constitution says, the Chief Justice presides when the person facing trial is the current President of the United States. Instead, it will be Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy, who, as the longest-serving Democrat, holds the position of Senate Pro Tem. The trial is set to get underway here the week of February 8th. I'm Bob Agnew on Capitol Hill. For more news now, back to Keith Peters.
President Biden has signed an executive order to boost government buying from U.S. manufacturers. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Hoping to shape the economy through executive authority, the president signed an order making it harder for federal agencies to buy foreign-made goods.
That means we're going to use taxpayers' money to rebuild America.
The order is aimed at increasing U.S. factory jobs.
America can't sit on the sidelines in the race for the future.
And as for the COVID relief bill being debated in Congress,
time is of the essence. Time is of the essence.
Greg Clugston, the White House.
A major winter storm threatened to blanket parts of the middle of the country with more than a foot of snow Monday, promising to disrupt travel and even forcing the closure of some coronavirus testing sites. The National Weather Service said at least 4 inches of snow is expected across most of an area, stretching from eastern Kansas, northeast to Chicago, and southern Michigan. Parts of southeast Nebraska and western Iowa could get more than 3 times that much. 10 to 15 inches of snow is likely between Lincoln, Nebraska, and Des Moines, Iowa. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 36 points. The Nasdaq, however, rose 92. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Excuse me, why don't you have life insurance yet?
I've got diabetes, and I know the price will be through the roof for the pre-existing condition.
Well, actually, SelectQuote makes it easy to get very affordable life insurance, even if you have a health issue.
I'm listening.
You'll get quotes from some of the country's most trusted carriers. Even with your diabetes, you can get around $250,000 in insurance for as little as a dollar a day.
That would be amazing. What's it called again?
SelectQuote. Just call or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote. Get the coverage you need at a price you can afford. Call 1-800-694-1010. Or go to SelectQuote.com today. That's 1-800-694-1010. Or SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Get full details on example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Monthly premiums vary based on health company and other factors. Not available in all states.
A special message to all my friends who own and operate small businesses. Hey, Kevin Wall here. When was the last time you evaluated your insurance policy? Hey, the world has changed in the last year, but has your commercial insurance kept up? That's where my friends Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance are ready to help you and your small business. Blue Sky Insurance offers fresh solutions for general liability, workers' compensation, and something new, cyber insurance. Make a New Year's resolution to review the plan that will protect your business and your income in the year 2021 and beyond. This small business insurance review from Blue Sky Insurance could actually save you money. And the consultation is absolutely free. It won't cost you a dime. I've been a client of Blue Sky Insurance for 3+ years. Their customer service is incredible. Just call or text Blue Sky Insurance at 702-410-8020. That's 702-410-8020. Or check it out online at blueskylv.com.
It's 4:04. This KMZQ News Flash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, it's already tough enough to get an appointment at your local DMV office, but a couple of avoidable issues are making it even tougher. DMV officials say the first problem is a 50% no-show rate, meaning half the customers who make their appointment just don't show up. Right now, DMV offices are processing about 700 customers a day, with most people in and out in about a half hour of their appointment time. Another issue, needlessly tying up appointment times, people making an appointment for a transaction that can actually be done online. It's going to be harder for travelers to avoid wearing a mask while on their way to Las Vegas, as President Biden has signed an executive order which requires masks to be worn on planes, ships, and other forms of transportation. The local officials say they don't expect the president's order to have much of an impact at McCarran, since Las Vegas has been dealing with masks for months now. Airlines themselves have already stopping thousands of people from flying for refusing to wear masks. Delta has reportedly banned some 800 people for refusing to wear a face covering. Going to be a wet weekend in most parts of the Vegas Valley. Do expect wet roads, cool temperatures, and possible snow at higher elevations. Got a dusting in Summerlin earlier today.
On-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Look for some congestion on the Southern Beltway right now. 215 eastbound at Eastern, 215 westbound at Green Valley. Good news as you work your way through the Spaghetti Bowl on the 515 or the 95. No delays through there. And you're pretty much up to full speeds in the resort area of the 15 as well between Sunset and Sahara.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are... Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken of it.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when he followed through, the exact opposite.
Check it out.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. It's just, when you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people!
Number one! Time is running out!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us on this Monday edition, kind of a murky-looking Monday. We've had snow in Summerlin. We've had rain elsewhere. It's just been a fun Monday. This hour of Live and Local brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable healthcare option that allows you to enroll any time of the year. Call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or check it out on your smartphone at libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. Always happy on Monday to visit with Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. And if I'm guessing, I am probably guessing that you are up in Carson City, are you?
Yes, I am, Kevin. Good to be on the program again today. And yeah, you're talking to me up in Carson City, and there is snow on the ground up here. So Jim's forecast was correct. In parts of the state, there is wetness on the ground.
Oh, my gosh. Let me ask you, I know that the session does not begin until a week from today. Am I right? A week from today it begins?
Yes, that's correct. A week from today will be the first day everybody will be sworn in. I'm up here because we have budget subcommittee, sort of an overview that we're doing of the budget, kind of going through that right now. We're going through each file, I guess you could call it. So, you know, each one of the agencies come in and talk to us about their budget and their budgetary needs and things like that.
Let me just ask you, it's the part of legislating that a lot of people don't see, they don't know about. They think you guys just sit in the chamber, debate, make speeches. But you've got committee assignments. Can you talk a little bit about your committee assignments and where you're going to zero in?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have three. Typically, you have two to three assignments. Last session, I had four. There's a little bit of work to do because we only had eight Republicans in the Senate. This time we have nine, so my workload was reduced a little bit. But three committee assignments. I have the education. That's the main one for me. That's kind of where I focus in on my education goals and what everybody else is presenting and see how they all work together. Then I have finance, which that's what I'm up here for now, but that's the part that kind of looks at the budget. So the Senate has the finance, and the Assembly Ways and Means Committee is, that's our sort of the sister committee there. They do it, that's what they call theirs, we call it finance. And then the last committee I have, it used to be transportation. Now they have, I think it's, I think they just changed the name, Economic Growth and something like that. They're looking at more of a broad perspective, not just transportation, but the whole infrastructure. That how do you increase the footprint, the blueprint to try and get the economy up and going and help out there. So I'm on that one. I've been on that one. I think I've been on that one last four sessions in a row, maybe five. Education the last three or four as well. This is my first time on finance, so it's definitely a learning experience. That being up here and kind of going through all the budgets right now. And finding out where all the money is and where it needs to go, which was interesting because that's, the governor gave the State of the State speech last week, and so now we're kind of going into the details of his speech.
I'm curious what you thought of the State of the State.
Well, I tell you, I'm listening to it, and he seemed a little more rosy and optimistic, but as he was describing the budget, and I went through, there's a few things that I pulled out. One, I was happy to see that he really wants to reinstate the 6% cuts that we created in Medicaid over the special session. I didn't particularly like the wording. He said that the legislature was forced to make 6% cuts to Medicaid, but he's happy that he's going to be reinstating them. I don't think that I quite agree with the statement because we as Republicans during that special session showed everybody how we didn't have to make those particular cuts. And those are important things to remember because every time you take a cut in Medicaid, every time you reduce that or any kind of program like that, you're actually reducing the matching funds that can come from the federal government. So you're actually sometimes a 2-to-1, sometimes a 3-to-1 match. So you're actually hurting our budget further by taking money out of those programs at the state level. And so we actually showed where we didn't need to do that. We didn't have to have that cut. And I think that if people went back and looked at it over these last 6 months, they would probably be pleased to discover that those cuts really weren't necessary because the formulas, the federal formulas, the FMAPs that we use as a formula, how we get paid by each, how each state gets paid, we knew those budgets, and we knew that those formulas were going to create an uptick in the amount of money we were getting, and there really was no need to make those cuts. But, I'm happy that they're going back in. We need to make sure that these services are provided. I'm always worried about messing around with that kind of stuff because you're losing providers, healthcare providers in the state when you don't have enough funding going to that pocket. So that was one thing that I did like. But as you listen to the speech, there's a lot of things in the speech that do have me concerned, and you can see it in the budget as well. And we pointed this out, there's a lot of hope that there's going to be a huge federal infusion of money. Matter of fact, I think the whole budget is based on the hope and desire of getting more money into the federal government. And when you do that and you build your budget on that, I'm a little concerned because a lot of times that's one-shot money that comes to us, and then you build your budget the next year and the next biennium on that money. You're basically saying, hey, if that money doesn't come in, how do you then finance that? And it's a great opportunity for Democrats to come in and say, well, we can't cut our budget. Now, what do we need to do? The only way we can make sure that we can continue to provide those services is to increase revenue. And that's when they start to ask for more money. That's when they go to the well and say, well, it's increased taxes. That's my main concern, is that you can see that there's an infusion of money. And that worried me. And I know that some people got in a little bit of a Twitter war after the fact, because we pointed that out. And I know some journalists got involved and said there's no federal money in our budget, but it says it, right? If you look at the governor sends this out from his office. It's a governor's executive budget, and it's just sort of an overview, budget highlights. If you go to page 3 of that budget highlight, right at the bottom, it says this budget includes an increase of $845 million in federal funds. We're not even sure if that money's going to come, or, that's my concern right now, is that just looking at the budget, it just seems like there's a whole lot of hope that the federal government comes in and helps out.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. So you've just totally confused me. Do we or don't we have a fiscal crisis in the state of Nevada looking at the next biennium?
We do. We do have absolutely, I think we do. And I think that the governor painted sort of a rosier picture than I think that we have, meaning that he believes that we've picked up our economy, that we've made a lot of right decisions over the last 8 to 9 months, making sure that we were balancing both health care and fiscal concerns. I don't see it quite as strongly as he does. I think that we are definitely in a bad spot, and the conservative in me is telling me you can't rely on the federal government to completely build your budget. And that's what I'm afraid what we have, is that he's kind of hoping that the federal government steps in and gives us a whole lot of money and then rely on that money going forward, years to come. Here's the other thing, Kevin, that most people have already thought about and they're considering already. This budget that he's put together right now, and I think it's a hope budget, because I know every budget that's ever proposed, they give it to the governor, gives us the budget, and there's some tweaks that go on because we go through the budget. That's our responsibility to go through the budget and find out what we need to put in there, take out. There's always a little give and take, but for the most part, the governor's budget comes out looking like it did when he submitted it. This budget, I can tell you right now, I don't think it'll look like this in the end, because there's lots of things missing, but the most important thing is, we remember last session, the governor, he is going to be negotiating with state workers. They are going to be collectively bargaining, and that has not come out yet. It may not even come out until March. We asked the question during one of the hearings, and they said that they're not sure if they're going to have that deal done by March or April. And I guarantee you, once that deal is done, there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars that need to go into that deal, and that will definitely put a hole in the budget unless he's figured out somehow how that's going to happen.
More coming up from Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. It's our regular Monday chat, and this time, 1 week removed from the next Nevada legislature. Stick around. More to do as we continue right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
New time, same great shows. Mike Gallagher wakes you up morning 6 to 9. Heidi Harris engages you 9 to noon. And hear the next big thing with Charlie Kirk noon to 3. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
For over 30 years, Ichabod's Lounge has provided incredible food, gaming, and nightly entertainment. Hey, Kevin Wall here. They've been here to serve you through good times and bad. Now, a lot of Vegas restaurants have been forced to close due to the governor's latest restrictions. But Francois and his amazing staff at Ichabod's Lounge aren't going anywhere, regardless of what may lie ahead for us. And at Ichabod's Lounge, your safety is their number one priority. So you'll see bartenders and servers wiping down services again and again. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Ichabod's is ready to serve you. But they know that some of you are reluctant to get out, and they get it. That's why Ichabod's Lounge features their incredible menu for both dine-in and carry-out. Call 702-451-2323. 702-451-2323. Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24-7. Vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Open enrollment is here, and choosing a healthcare program is an important decision for you and your family. That's why I want to tell you about Liberty HealthShare. As a healthcare sharing ministry, they offer you another way to care for your health by sharing medical costs in a supportive community. Programs start as low as $349 per month, and there is no network, so you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more about your healthcare sharing options, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour of Live and Local brought to you by attorney Craig Mueller of Mueller & Associates. When you need an attorney, you need someone who shares your conservative values. Call Craig Mueller, my buddy, my pal, at Mueller & Associates, 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. Scott Hammond joining us, as he does every Monday. And we're getting ready for next Monday, the first day of the Nevada legislature, and he has already been in committee hearings. Aside from finance, anything that sticks out for you that you're seeing in some of these BDRs when you're talking, about things other than finance? Anything out there that either scares you or surprised you?
Well, I haven't gone through a lot of the BDRs yet. Because a lot of times, to me, they're not worth looking at right now because there's not much meat on it. You can't tell what they really are intending to do unless you talk to the legislators themselves to find out what they want. And so I kind of wait for some of those to come out. But there is one thing that did come out during the State of the State address. The governor did talk a little bit about a smart city. I don't know if you listened to him. He talked a little bit about putting a smart city together using blockchain technology. There's a company that is going to do that. But what I've understood since the governor made that announcement is that what they want to do is they want to take a piece of land out of a county, and I think it's Story County, and they want to then give control of that little piece of land. There's nothing on it right now, but that they're going to make a city from scratch from that land. But in order to do so, the governor will then choose de facto sort of like county commissioners, but not county commissioners, to then be in charge of that piece. The governor would have more say over that. They basically are taking land away from a county, the way I understand it right now, take land away from a county, make that city, and then whatever revenue is generated in taxation, and then would go directly to the state coffers and not the county coffers.
Whoa, wait. Won't Story County have something to say about that?
Not the way the bill is written as we understand it right now. That's something we've been discussing, and I'd like to see the details come out. I hope it doesn't end up that way, because that does sound very suspect to me. I could you imagine them doing that down there in the Strip and just saying that these casinos will now be a new entity, an entity of the state, and then whatever revenue they generate goes to the state coffers, not the county? That would be really strange.
Wow.
That's one
that I think could end up in the courts because. And again, I'm not an attorney and I'm not a constitutional scholar in the state of Nevada, but that sounds a little hinky to me.
Well, it sounds a little like what they did back in, you know, years ago in the 80s when they created Bullfrog County in order to put what was it back then? They wanted to put the nuclear waste there. And they created that county with nobody living there, and that, you know, sort of, and of course that they found out that was unconstitutional. So it just kind of smells a little like that to me. But again, we don't know for sure until we see the details in the legislation.
So when do you actually get to see this stuff?
Well, a lot of it will come out the first day. Well, there's a lot of bills that are pre-filed, and a lot of those bills will be introduced, and then they'll come out in bill form on that day. And then some of them will take a couple of weeks. The question that's still on my mind and a lot of people up here, how is this first couple of weeks, months going to be? Is it going to be completely virtual? We're not allowing anybody in it. There's still a lot of questions because they haven't given us details on that. But right now I would suspect that the first 30 days will be, off limits to the public and to lobbyists.
I'm sorry, Scott, but that rubs me the wrong way. The idea that we're going to black out the public, transparency be damned, as a member of the legislature, does that rankle you a little bit? Does that cause you a little consternation?
Yeah, tremendously. I think that it's got to be open. Matter of fact, I mean, if you're going to say that you can have 50% of capacity in your store, the same thing should happen at the legislative building. I mean, if that's the restriction for other businesses, then fine, okay. But we should still have people in here in the building. It really rankles me that we're not having the public in here. I don't know how we do it without the public. I really don't. I don't know how we do it without them and other people being a part of the process.
And by the way, are you including lobbyists in that group?
Yeah, well, a lot of them are there. A lot of them usually are up here, but. The public, plays a big part of it. When we have hearings, there's lobbyists, but there's a lot of people who are just general members of the public who want to come in and comment on a bill and how it affects them. And I think it's important to have that. And I'm really worried about what we did during the special session, having people testify so late at night when they really shouldn't be doing that. It's really got to be open to the public. It's got to be open to the people of Nevada.
So how exactly will it work, though? If you go to just a straight online, does it become like a large Zoom deal?
Very much like that. You'll have to call in, get in a queue in order to make a comment. The comments will be, really strict because they'll give you a 2-minute limit kind of thing. But they do it in some of these other states. It's a little hinky because sometimes you don't know that you've been asked to talk. You can't hear or something like that, and so silence, we're waiting for somebody to talk, but that's kind of how it would work. The public, won't be on Zoom, but we would be on those kind of, we'd be on a Zoom call. You guys would be listening in or watching in and then call in and testify.
It's absolutely amazing to think that we're still doing this again. And the analogy I like is that if you can do 50% in a Walmart, you can do 50% in the legislature, where you've got you've got infrastructure. You got people to wipe things down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they do a great job. They're fantastic. I mean, the people who service the building are